بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادته سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء مخ العبادة، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. For the benefit of our students, usually on Tuesday evening, on Tuesday after Isha, we have a talk in English. And the talk is usually kept open, that any discussion can be made. Whatever, sometimes something appropriate to the time. Sometimes discussion starts on one thing and then it goes into another thing. So it's a talk which is kept open. So when this topic of dua started on Wednesdays, I thought to myself that because the topic of dua is something which is very beneficial and very important as well, and it is something which every person can benefit from, so we should incorporate it into one. So what will happen is, on Wednesdays, for the first 20 minutes or so, you can say it will be part of the course, but it will be an open talk. Musallis can sit as well. It will be more of the format of a talk, you can say, for the first 20 minutes or so. It will be part of the course as well, and then after that, our lesson will continue, inshallah. So, firstly, as a recap for our students, and for those who weren't here last week, just a quick summary. We discussed the many virtues of dua last week. Whenever a new student comes, and whoever has the copy of the notes, just give him a copy. Yes. So whoever the notes gets passed on to, it is his responsibility to be aware when the new student comes. Yes. Ji. Have you got a copy? Achha, ji. So we have already discussed in detail the virtues. The great virtues of dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is the essence of ibadah. Another hadith, he said that it is the noblest ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself gives us a command in the glorious Quran. He gives us a command. So if you think about it, when we make a dua, in reality we are making dua for our needs. But despite that, so we're doing something that benefits us. But despite that, Allah Ta'ala commands us to make a dua. And in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the person who doesn't make a dua to Allah Ta'ala, he's too proud to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Or he's always complacent. Whenever he has a need, he thinks, yes, I will be able to fulfill the need. He doesn't have this thought that, yes, I need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry with him. In this world, if you go asking for someone for something, and he is someone who is soft-hearted, who is someone who is kind, he will give you it. You go asking for someone for a loan, he will give you it. And if he is very soft-hearted, and you have another need, he will go ask you again. But you keep asking someone repeatedly, eventually he won't want to see you. He will be scared the next time you knock on his door, unless he is someone who is very, very kind-hearted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more a person asks from him, the more a person becomes pleased with him, the more Allah ta'ala becomes pleased with him. So asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is extremely important. And it should be part and parcel of everyone's life. And we should also understand that the purpose of dua is not only to fulfill your needs. This is one purpose of dua. Our mindset is usually that the purpose of dua is there to fulfill my needs. Therefore, When I have a need, I will make dua. When I don't have a need, then there is no special importance needed to be paid to dua. That is incorrect. One purpose of dua is fulfillment of one's need. But there are a number of other purposes of dua. Another purpose of dua is that to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To create a bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through dua, if a person does it regularly, he does it in the correct mindset, a person's bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be strengthened greatly. And not only can a person's bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be strengthened greatly, his heart will be filled with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is that? Firstly, because whenever someone does something for you, even if it is a small favor, I generally give the example that you're on public transport, you're on the bus, you're on the train, and you have a few bags with you. And let's say you don't even need help, you can manage them, they're heavy. There are a number of them, but you can manage. You're fit and healthy. But someone, you're coming off and someone helps you. Maybe he is also coming off. He needed to get off his seat as well. But as he's coming off, he takes a few bags from one of your hands and he helps you. So he didn't, it wasn't even a case of you needed him to help you. But he helped you. He made your job a little bit easier for a few moments. Just that small favor, that tiny favor, will create a place in your heart for that person. You will thank him. If you see him again, you'll make a point of greeting him. Hello, how are you? You see so many people on transport, but you'll make a point of greeting him. And if you see him again, you'll feel happy. And the thought will go that this is the person that helped me. Whenever someone does a favor for us, a place is created in our heart for them. That's natural human behavior. So when a person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if he makes dua with the correct mindset, with conviction, then every single time one of his du'as is accepted, his love for Allah ta'ala will increase. Because he will think, my Allah has done another favor for me. My Allah has fulfilled another task of mine. So the more he makes dua, provided he does it with the correct mindset, the more he will see the acceptance of his du'as. And every single time he sees it, the love for Allah ta'ala will increase within his heart. When the love for Allah ta'ala increases within his heart, next time the hands will lift up for dua quicker. When you have love for someone, you feel like talking to them. You don't have a friendship with someone. You don't have a bond with someone. After 5 minutes of talking, you think, what else should I discuss with him? Sometimes you wish as well that it's better that I find an excuse and get on with life. And you meet someone who you have love with, you can talk for 2 hours and you don't even know where the time has gone. You can't even remember what was discussed, nothing noteworthy was discussed. Just the fact that you have love for him, you have friendship for him, you enjoy being in his company. You enjoy speaking to him, you enjoy him speaking to you. When love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created, then a person will enjoy speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created, not only will a person enjoy speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a natural side effect of this will be that he will be so much more eager in fulfilling every command of Allah ta'ala. When a person has true love for someone, then he dislikes making them unhappy. He dislikes seeing them upset. This is a quality of true love. That when you love someone, then you don't want to see them upset. You don't want to see them grieved. If something makes them grieved, it automatically grieves you as well. In fact, if someday you see them, you meet them, and they're grieved, they're upset, and for whatever reason, you're unable to find out what made them upset,
you will still feel grieved. Just the fact that someone, my beloved, is grieved will make you feel sad as well. So the thing that when you love someone, the thing that displeases the beloved also displeases you. So when a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displeases the sin, he dislikes his disobedience. So a person will also dislike the disobedience of Allah ta'ala. So he will be so much more eager in carrying out those things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have experience and we have seen as well. Two people love each other, how the great lengths they go to make each other happy. There are two people that have love for each other and they live in different countries. And every so often they will pay hundreds of pounds and take a flight from this country to that country for what? Only one purpose. To visit my friend that lives there, that person who I have love for that lives there. Maybe they talk over the phone as well regularly. And nowadays you can see each other over the internet by means of communication as well. Despite this, they will take out hundreds of pounds. They will make a point. If necessary, sometimes they may even take a holiday from work if they have to. Take relief from commitments and take out time and go spend time with them. Why? Because this happens when love is there. So dua will go a long way to creating love for Allah Ta'ala in a person's heart. And when love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created in a person's heart, then practice upon deen in general becomes so much easier for a person. So this is a very great purpose of dua, that through dua a bond is created with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this bond will be created when you make dua regularly. When you make a point of making dua regularly, whether I have needs or not. If we think about it, in reality, we have needs all the time. How do we have needs all the time? Two reasons. First reason is that even if I can think of, I think, you know, at the moment I'm totally set. Alhamdulillah, financially I'm perfectly fine. Health-wise I'm perfectly fine. Family is perfectly fine as well. No stress on my head. No important task to prepare for. So all of these are blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have a need that these blessings carry on. That is a need of ours. That just like I am healthy today, tomorrow I am also healthy. But how many people do we know that one day they are healthy and the next day they become ill? And it's not just a trivial illness, it's a serious illness. Maybe it was building inside and they didn't know. Or maybe it wasn't the case, they became ill on that very day. And they're not even able to get up from the bed. So it is a need of ours that today I am healthy, my health carries on tomorrow. Financially I am secure today. It is a need of mine that my financial security continues tomorrow. So even when a person doesn't have a need, then he should lift his hands up for dua. And one dua he should make is that, oh Allah, just like you are fulfilling my needs today, carry on fulfilling my needs tomorrow. So that is one need we have, that is how we are needy even when we think we are not needy. And the second way in which we are needy all the time is that we always have a need for the purpose of our hereafter, for the success of the hereafter, for entry into Jahannam, for entry into Jannah and safety from Jahannam, for the tawfiq to do good deeds, for the tawfiq to stay away from sin. These are needs of ours. And these needs are always there. Because until we leave this world, we never know, have I secured entry into Jannah or not? When we look at the entire deen and all the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the behavior of the sahaba from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba radiallahu anhu, and the pious people of the past, we find a few fundamental qualities that our deen teaches. And one quality, one mindset, which is absolutely fundamental, which our deen teaches, is that a person, however practicing he is, he must always have this worry within him that I need to make sure I am successful in the hereafter. This thought should never enter his mind that I am definitely in Jannah. I've been performing Salah regularly for the last 20 years in the masjid. with Takbir Ula in the first half. Other than that, I read the Quran every day. When I look in my life, I don't see anything wrong. Alhamdulillah, that is all fantastic, and that is something to be happy about. It's the nature of a mu'min that when he sees his good deeds, he becomes happy when he thinks about them. But at the same time, this fear should remain within a person that I hope I will be granted entry into Jannah. I hope I will be saved from Jahannam. The great saint and alim, Hazrat Mawlana Shafi'i Thani rahmatullahi, he used to say that in my dua, I regularly make dua that, oh Allah, grant me entry into Jannah and grant me safety from Jahannam. And he used to say that I never once think for a moment that I am worthy of this. I never once think that I am actually worthy, that my actions deserve safety from Jahannam and entry into Jannah. So I don't think I am worthy for it, but what can I do? It is my need. I am not worthy for it, but it's my need to safety from Jahannam and entry into Jannah. So I make dua for it every time, but never for a moment do I think that I am worthy of it. That is why I am asking for it. So this is a fundamental part of a person's mind. In fact, you and I, we can have everything in our life. But if we don't have this, then we should understand we are deficient. This worry doesn't remain with us. That I hope I am safe from Jahannam. I hope I will enter Jannah. I hope I will leave this world with Iman. So when that is the case, and a person doesn't know if he has secured safety on the side, a person may say that if I am fully practicing, if everything, you know, I look in my life and I see that everything that should be there is there. Everything that shouldn't be there isn't there. Then how can I create that mindset that I still have worry? So there are a number of ways to create this. One very simple way to create this is to ponder upon the fact that Alhamdulillah, I'm set right now from a deeni point of view. But no one knows what's going to happen in the future. You and I will have seen so many people who are regular in the masjid and they disappear. If we think carefully, such people will come to mind. A person's deeni condition can change in an instant. Just like a person can change from becoming irreligious to religious in an instant, the opposite can happen as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of us safe. A person could never feel that, yes, and I'm fine until my grave. There were so many people who would perform salah regularly in the masjid. The lockdown happened, after salah they never returned to the masjid. You and I know people like that. And every so often sometimes you try to convince them as well and they say, inshallah, yes. But we don't see them. And that's just a very basic example. What I am trying to say is that if a person ponders upon the fact that I don't know how much is left of my life, I don't know if during that time I will be able to remain firm on deen. The mahal around me is not good at all. Then he will always keep this fear about the hereafter alive. And in every single dua, obviously he will make dua for the hereafter. He will make dua that, oh Allah, keep me safe from sin. Oh Allah, grant me tawfiq to remain steadfast upon deen. Oh Allah, grant me entry into Jannah, save me from Jahannam. This is a permanent need from us until we leave this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, that sometimes it is the case that a person, his entire life he has spent in wrong. And then close to his demise, he doesn't know it's close, his death is around the corner, but Allah Ta'ala knows, close to his death, Allah Ta'ala grants him tawfiq. He makes a U-turn and he's granted entry into Jannah. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that sometimes a person has spent his entire life in good. And close to his death, he goes off track and his condition is such that he ends up in Jahannam. So the purpose of these hadith is not we become despondent. The purpose is that worry remains. Never mind, however good our deeni condition becomes to us, it seems to us that worry should remain. That I hope I remain steadfast upon deen. So, These are two fundamental purposes of dua. One purpose is to create and strengthen the bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another purpose is fulfillment of one's needs in this world and the hereafter. And here we should also mention that look, whenever something is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Human has been created from hastiness. Now hastiness is not something physical that you can create something from it. But when you create something, if we say this building is created from bricks and mortar, that means every part of it is bricks and mortar. That is the main ingredient in it. It's something prevalent within it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the human is created from hastiness. He's trying to tell us that hastiness is a prevalent quality within the human. And part of hastiness is that he always wants immediate results. He always wants immediate results. His focus naturally goes to the short term. So when we make a dua, then naturally the need that is in front of us right now, that is obvious to us right now, that tomorrow I have a job interview, that need comes in front of our mind. That need is nothing compared to the needs of the hereafter. But because of the nature of a human, that he is hasty, he is short-term minded, he will always focus on what is in front of him, what is around the corner, that dominates his mind. So when he lifts his hands up for dua, what is in front of him, he comes into his mind. He has an exam within the next week, exam, that is what will come in his mind. That's the nature of a human. So the needs of this world will come in mind automatically. And nothing wrong with that. That is one purpose of dua. But a person should always remember that the needs of the hereafter, they may not be immediately right in front of me, but they are much more important. So a person should always make dua for them. Sometimes we fall into the trap of our needs for this world, we ask out of the bottom of our heart. And dua, Allahumma jinn minna, Allahumma jinn minna, Allahumma jinn minna, Allah save you. Automatic modu. No, those needs are far more important. So, those are two fundamental purposes of dua. Let us make a point of making dua regularly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice among what has been said. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.